This morning's sermon is called The Way, the Truth, and the Life from John 14, verse 1 through 14. Chapter 14, verse 1 through 14. As we continue to go through the Gospel of John, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, as we continue our journey through this amazing gospel. Chapter 14 is an amazing chapter. You probably know it well. It's one of my favorite chapters. Again, this passage took place on Thursday evening at the Lord's Supper, the day before Jesus went to the cross. This is when Jesus and his disciples gathered for an evening meal before the Passover. Biblical scholars believe that chapters 13 through 17 all took place in the upper room at the Lord's Supper before the Passover. And John recorded, more than any other gospel writer, the things that Jesus said on this night. As I said, this chapter 13 through 17 is just all takes place over several hours of this Lord's Supper. Jesus had been telling his disciples that he will be leaving them and going back to the Father in heaven, where he came from. But as we read, they were very troubled by this. They had been walking with him for 3 years and thought the Messiah came to rule and reign. And they're kind of confused. And they're like, what do you mean you're going to die? What do you mean you're going to raise 3 days later from the dead? What do you mean you're leaving us? We have forsaken all, they said, to follow after you. And now you're leaving? So they're very troubled in their heart, as we'll read. So Jesus continues during these chapters to pour out his love for them and to give them many promises to them and to every believer in Christ. He knows that when they see him the next day, on Friday, be killed, be crucified, and hanging on a cross, they are going to be very distraught over this. So he's comforted them now throughout these chapters. We're going to see this. Let's go ahead and pick up where we left off. If you brought your Bible with you, please turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Let's go through the Word of God. Let's look at verses 1 through 3. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Underline that in your Bible. Let not your heart be troubled. Highlight it too. You believe in God. Also, believe also in me, says the Lord. And here comes the promise to them and to all those in Christ Jesus in verses 2 and 3. Listen to what Jesus says. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you that I prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen, amen, amen. What an amazing promise from the Lord. Jesus tells them and us, in my Father's house, in heaven, there are many mansions, many rooms, but one house, the Father's house. And he said, if this were not true, I would not tell you this. But this is true, he tells them. There are many rooms, many mansions, one house, the Father's house, where God and his family lives forever. All those who belong to God, the saved, God's children, not all of God's creation, but God's children live in God's house. What a promise. And Jesus said to him, he says, I've already prepared a place for you. Your name is written in heaven. You have reservations in heaven. Jesus said, I've written your name in heaven. And not only that, you see what Jesus says? He says, and I'm going to receive you to myself. Hallelujah. I'm going to receive you to myself. It's amazing. If you are in Christ Jesus, after this life, you will be brought into the presence of God and His family, which is you as well. That's a promise from the Lord. That's the word of God. This is His promise to His believers. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, he said, I has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of a man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. In other words, when you get to heaven, Paul says, you're going to be blown away. You are going to be in awe for eternity after this life. Amazing. In the presence of God, your eyes will be open to the spiritual realm. You know what that means, right? You can see God. You can see angels, right? We can't see right now. Our eye is physical. We're not open to the spiritual realm. God does open eyes to some people to see the spiritual realm. He did it for the Apostle John when he saw him. In the book of Revelation, he opened John's eyes to the spiritual realm. And that's when he said, he says, and I saw Jesus. And he begins to write. So how does one get there? Glad you asked. Look at verse 4 through 6. Jesus said, and where I go, you know. And the way, you know. Thomas said to Jesus, Lord, we do not know where you are going. And how can we know the way? Here you go, right here, verse 6. Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's the way, Thomas. Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas, you know the way. I am the way, the life. I am the truth and the life. Jesus tells his disciples, I am the only door that leads to heaven. There is no door number two. There is no door number three. I am the only way, Thomas, and to the rest of the disciples and to all the world. He said, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus adds this, which is very important to understand, the second half of that verse. He said, and no one comes to the Father except through me. You're not going to get there by your good works, your good deeds. No, no, no. The Bible says your works, it's like filthy rags before God. Isaiah 64, 6. He says, I'm the way. You're only getting to heaven because of me, what I've done to you. You've surrendered your life to me, and my righteousness gets imputed to you, and your sin gets imputed to the cross. It is finished, paid in full. I am the way, the Lord said. So how does one get into Jesus' kingdom? The Bible clearly states, through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Trusting in Christ. Believe in Greek means to trust. I've mentioned this before. The gospel requires two things. Repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. No repentance, no Christ. Follow me, right? You can't have one without the other. What did Jesus say in Luke 13, 5? He said, unless you repent, you will perish. Be separated from God's grace. Those are Jesus' words. What did Jesus say when he first started his earthly ministry? The first thing Mark recorded that Jesus said is, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. These are Jesus' words. The Bible says we must repent and believe in Jesus Christ to be saved. And true repentance, listen, and true repentance and saving faith produces obedience. Okay? Some people say, oh, you've got to be obedient to be saved. No, you don't. That would be a works-based gospel. You will be obedient because of your true repentance and saving faith produces obedience. It comes naturally to the child of God. You want to obey. Amen? It's not a burden to you to obey, to follow God's laws. It's not a burden because you want to. Because of your saving faith produces obedience. Let's take a look at verse 7 and 9. Jesus continued with, if you had known me, you would have known the Father also. And from now on, you know him. Look at what he says. And you have seen him, as in we are one. Right? He tells him. Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father and it is sufficient for us. Man, it's hard to read that, huh? I don't think they heard what Jesus said like 2 seconds ago. Right in one ear, right out the other. Verse 9, Jesus said to Philip, how long have I been with you, and yet you have not known me? Philip, he who has seen me, Jesus said, has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? It's almost like Jesus is saying to them, like I can just picture if I was there, he's like, come on, guys. Right? When I read this, I think the Lord, come on, guys. I've been with you for 3 years and you still don't get this? And no, they didn't. Not until after his resurrection when he showed himself to them. They didn't get it. They confessed that Jesus is the Messiah. We read that. Jesus is the Christ. He's the Son of the living God, but not God. Not until after his resurrection. Jesus told him, he says, hey, guys, I am God incarnate. Yes, I am the Son of God, but I also am God in the flesh. I am He. We've been reading that, right? I am He. That's a title of God. Yahweh, Almighty God. Jesus had been saying this, right? He says, if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins, right? John 8:24. Right, we started out this book in chapter 1:1. What did John write? He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right? And the Word is none other than Jesus Christ. Jesus said, Philip, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Right? Colossians 1:15 says Jesus is the visible image of the invisible Father. Colossians 1:15. In the Old Testament, God uses the name I am, right? You guys read that, right? The Old Testament, he always told Moses. Moses said, when I go to talk to Pharaoh and he asked me who sent me, what should I say? He says, you tell him I am sent you. Right? He says, that's my name. I am Yahweh, God Almighty. God identified himself as I am. Not I was. I am. John writes seven I am statements in this gospel to prove his case that Jesus is God. He uses the same titles as God, and he tells his story as he writes it as an eyewitness of Jesus. He recorded 7 I am statements, right? We've been going through a lot of them, right? I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world, right? I am the gate. I am the shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the vine, which is in our next chapter. And here he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He uses God titles. God said he will not share his glory with another. I told this to my Jehovah Witness friends. God says, I will not share my title, my glory with another. If Jesus isn't God, why is he using his name? It was pretty silent right after that. I said, because he's God. And unless you believe he's God, you're going to die in your sins. That is the word of God. I love you enough to tell you that. Instead of just saying, have a nice day. Die in your sins. No. I'm going to pray for you because you're lost. You belong to a cult religion that is backed by Satan. And there are many of them out there. John's gospel message to us since we started this book, Jesus is God. He is the second person in the triune Godhead. And without him, you cannot have life. That's his gospel message to us. John's gospel message to us, the eternal God has become flesh and lived among us. Right? Emmanuel. What's that mean? Emmanuel. God with us. Right? Emmanuel, God with us. The Creator has become part of his creation. Amazing, huh? God took on human flesh to save us, right? Redeem us and reconcile us back to God through him. They had a hard time with this. This one God thing in three persons. They couldn't wrap their head around this. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. What do you mean one God? There's three persons. They didn't get it. My granddaughter, Gabby, who's 11 years old, extremely smart, she comes up with some real good doozies for me when we spend time together. Most of the time we're riding in a car together. She calls me Bubba because she can't pronounce Grandpa when she was little, so it just stuck. So she says to me, Bubba, I got a question about Jesus. I said, okay, let's talk. Praise the Lord that you even have a question. Right? Praise the Lord that you have a question about God. She says, you have told me that Jesus is God. Is that correct, Bubba? I said, yes. That is correct. She says, I've been having such a hard time wrapping my head around this because you said they're God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's three people, Baba. I said, no, but one God. Scratching her head. I said, I'm going to give you an example I think that's going to help you out. And it may help you out as well. I said, Gabby, think of a hard-boiled egg. He goes, okay. She's probably like, oh, wow, Papa's lost his mind. I said, think of the hard-boiled egg. Three parts. The shell, the protein, the white part, and the yolk. She goes, okay. I said, three parts, right? She said, yes. I said, one egg. She said, why didn't you say that before, Bubba? I said, I probably should have. She says, I get it. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit make up one God, like the egg. I said, you got it. She goes, I get it now. Sometimes the simplest things like that. So use that if you have some friends and family. Hardball day. Yeah, get ready. Oh, yeah. Well, I can imagine what it's going to be like. I tell her, bring it on. Yeah, love talking about the Lord. All right, let's take a look at verse 10 through 10 and 11. Let's take a look at 10 and 11. Jesus said, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells, lives in me, does the works. Verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sakes of the works themselves, the miracles. Three times right here in two verses. Believe, believe, believe. You know what Jesus is saying? My words are the words of God. That's what he's telling them. Come on, Philip. Stop living by sight and start living by faith. These guys are, they had to see it. Show me a sign. Jesus tells them, will you stop living by sight and start living by faith? In chapter 20 of this book, after Jesus' resurrection, he showed himself to the disciples. And listen to what doubting Thomas said. Verse 28 of chapter 20, it says, Thomas answered and said to Jesus, this is after he sees him, after his resurrection, and his glorified state before him. Thomas said to Jesus, when he saw him, listen to this, my Lord and my God. It finally clicked. He said, my Lord and my God. He finally got it. And listen to what Jesus said to him right after. Jesus said, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet believe in me. Amen. That's you and me. That's you and me. Jesus said, Thomas, you believe because you've seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen me, and yet they believe in me. Wow. That's you and me. Blessed are you and me who continue to stand strong in our faith, yet we have not seen our Lord, which we will after this life. Amazing. Right? Listen, this is what it comes down to. We walk by faith, not by sight. Amen? We walk by faith, not by sight. This is what Jesus had been trying to get them to do. Let's look at our final verses, verses 12 and 4 through 14. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, which means listen up, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. A powerful word from the Lord, huh? Jesus told his disciples, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do. And Jesus worked many miracles through the apostles, if you read the book of Acts. He did many miracles through these disciples. Jesus told them, after I go to the Father, you are going to do mighty works by faith in me. They did many miracles in Jesus' name, starting on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. From there on, these men did many miracles in Jesus' name. To read them. And Jesus said, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Wow. Whatever we ask in Jesus' name, he'll do it? No. He is talking about whatever you ask in my name that aligns with my Father's will, and the Father will be glorified in the Son, I will do it. This certainly isn't, Lord, I sure would like a bigger house. What do you think? Lord, you said you'd do it. It certainly isn't, hey, Lord, summer's here, I sure could use a boat. No. Don't twist that scripture like many have. Let me give you a couple examples that would be God's will for you. Asking the Lord to help you understand his word. That would be his will for you, and he will do it. Let me give you another example. Lord, help me share my faith better. Help me share the gospel, the good news. That would be God's will for your life. He will do it. That's aligning his will with your will, your life. That's what Jesus is talking about. Not a house, not a boat. Not a new husband, new wife, whatever you want to do. Whatever you're praying for. Hopefully not new. Whatever it may be. New job, whatever. No. If it aligns with, it's got to align with God's will. Right? That's why I've told you guys before, when you pray, you should add this to your prayers. Lord, help align my will with your will. Let your will done. We try to, Lord, can you just do my will today? No. That's not how it works with God. Right? Too many people are trying to get, God, do my will. I want this. No. God says, you align your will with my will. Why? We say it all the time, let your will be done. Not let Sean's will be done. Let your will be done. Whatever it is, I want to do your will. Help align my will and my heart with your will and your heart. And God will do it. I'm just going to close with this. One last thing. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only door that leads to heaven. Everlasting life in Christ Jesus. And all those who have done this and surrendered their life to Christ and belong to God are in Christ Jesus. This is Jesus' promise to you. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. But I go prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also, says the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning as we gathered in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. Please, Lord, continue to let your Holy Spirit speak to us daily, Lord. We ask this all in your name. Amen.